Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11.
While they're telling all us here, no more drilling, no more drilling. The President Biden making it clear at a couple events right before the midterm elections. Yeah, I don't drill anymore. Don't yell at me, you heckler. I don't drill anymore. So how do you get the investment when you discourage Wall Street to get away when they have this massive push by this administration to stop fossil fuels? 9,000 leases mostly issued under previous administrations.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My friends want to know how it came to be that ooh, this holiday don't mean nothing to me. Cause I got Santa under my tree. He was flirting with my honey, trying to take her from me. Hey, don't be fooled.
I think that this is protecting people that, you know, don't have any say in what's going on around them. So children, elderly, people that are sensitive to secondhand smoke, I think that this is a necessary ordinance.
So Casey Jones, who was the sponsor of the smoking ban item that the city council took up last night, explaining that he doesn't think it takes away anybody's freedom. Instead, it he's heard the argument that it takes away people's freedom. He thinks instead it protects people who are sensitive to smoke, elderly and kids. I mean, it is true. It takes away people's freedom, but it's also designed to protect people from the secondhand smoke. Charles Baer, newly reinstalled city councilman, now as the representative of District 2, formerly as an at-large district representative.
Councilman Baer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I do agree, and I know they'll upset Andrew McKay, because I think he said that I was going to vote against this. But I proposed a very similar ordinance back in 2013, but at the time we were preempted. It had not stopped some other cities. I took my language directly from the city of Parkland back then. They had gone ahead and passed one, even though it was preempted by the state.
I love that. I think I'm going to upset Andrew McKay. Because he said I would vote against this. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was texting with Charles after the meeting. I'm like, bro, sorry. And I told him, I said, not disappointed or not upset, except in the fact that I predicted wrong, you know? And he's like, well, you should have researched me better. I'm like, I know, I see. He actually had proposed a ban like this a long time ago, and I did not know that. So I basically thought, you know, as a freedom lover, as a guy who had been in the military defending other people's freedoms, that's what I was, very thin evidence, okay, for my prediction yesterday that Charles Baer would vote against this. It turns out he was the staunchest advocate of the ban last night.
We consider the Maritime Park to be a park in definition. So this would apply in the Maritime Park.
That would be my understanding.
Okay. I hadn't caught that would be an implication as well, but certainly that is one of the city parks, apparently. And so Charles explaining his rationale for, again, really it was Casey Jones' item, but Charles turned out to be the real champion of the agenda.
I have three boys. We used to go park hopping. So we'd go from park to park in East Hill, and we had criteria as to when you would leave a park. And some of those had to deal with the number of kids that were unsupervised, because they always caused problems. But one of them was people that would smoke that were near the equipment. What would always happen, somebody would be smoking and pushing their kid on the swing, you know, and I'm just like, okay, you're constantly moving and your smoke is wafting over towards us. And I just don't think that's right.
But it's deeper than that. I thought that was interesting. You know, I mean, unruly kids are smokers and you leave a park. That wouldn't be my approach, you know, but I, you know, everybody's got their standards, right? That's fine.
You know, my mother died of lung cancer. I grew up in a house with a smoker and lived with that stigma. You know, I always smelled like smoke. I had sinus infections constantly. And, you know, my mother's lung cancer spread to her brain. They operated on it, were not able to get it all, came back with a vengeance. I still remember sitting in Five Sisters with her in the final weeks of her life. And she was eating like a child because her brain was so affected from the cancer that she wasn't able to even eat normally. And That always sticks with me.
Listen, there is no arguing with the horrific nature of lung cancer. There isn't. And I fully understand where he's coming from on this. But does that translate into a justification for telling other people that they can't smoke? We've got this major cultural conversation that's been going on. And does it translate into a justification for prohibiting them from smoking in an outside public area? Because the difference between somebody who's smoking multiple packs of cigarettes a day and killing themselves, as his mother did, unfortunately, very tragically, is different from a few times that you breathe the diluted smoke from somebody else in an outdoor space. This idea that secondhand smoke is responsible for killing people is, I think, unfounded. And unfounded, at least in the sense of outdoors at a distance or even close once in a while, compared to, say, a kid who's in a home with somebody smoking it all, you know, this all the time. So, you know, the public health justification, I appreciate the rationale for why he's so vehement. I just don't think that translates into justifying this particular regulation. But I appreciate that he gave his explanation.
I don't support smoking anywhere. I can smell smoke from probably 100 yards away or more, and it's probably because I grew up with it. But I would like for you to vote for this ordinance, and I'd like to hear other people's feedback before I make my amendment.
So Delarian Wiggins, the guy who works for the Sheriff's Department as well, raised exactly the question that I expected him to raise.
My question is, how would we enforce this? Do they just call law enforcement? Or what's the process as far as enforcement?
And I can have Ms. Miller come up if necessary, but my understanding would be, you know, if no different than how we enforce some of our other ordinances or codes, you know, someone would call, we would probably get a code enforcement officer out there, and typically we would go out there in most cases and educate the public, the person. We're not out here just to fine people right off the bat.
Yeah, so it looks like they don't view PPD as the first line of enforcement, but code enforcement instead, which is kind of an interesting alternative. Would it eventually escalate to PPD if somebody is recalcitrant and keeps smoking despite being told not to? I don't know. I mean, you know, these are questions to be decided of a sort. But I thought it was also interesting because, you know, would this actually be enforced? Would it be, you know, it's one thing to have a law in the books. It's another thing to have a law in the books that is actively enforced, that people are aware of. Again, Charles Baer taking up that question.
There are lots of laws in the books that we don't enforce. At the same time I was trying to do this, we did actually pass a law that related to speeding. We changed the speed limit in city parks, and that has never been enforced. I think we said it like 12 and a half miles an hour or something crazy, so it would be very obvious. It's never been posted, never been enforced. But this gives a tool for law enforcement to take care of things.
Yeah, I would be more on the side of don't put laws on that you're not willing to enforce. It's kind of like the parent, you know, don't tell your kids they can't do something if you're not willing to actually enforce that rule that undermines your authority, and it generally depreciates the value of setting these rules. But there's also a truth in that if you make it a law and people are aware that it's a law, even if it's not heavily enforced, the awareness will stigmatize the behavior and will tend to discourage it because there are going to be people who will obey it who otherwise wouldn't simply because they know it's the law. So, you know, there's a both sides to that kind of story. I thought it was also kind of interesting because Casey Jones, not quite as, I don't know, viscerally in opposition to smoking the way Charles Baer had because of his personal history. But he explained that a lot of his reason for pushing this agenda was also a sort of personal experience and kid related.
Mr. Forte, I know when we first met about this, I think I sent him a text the next day. I was at Vans on the Bayou, and my 2-year-old at the time was playing in the sand down by the water, and someone walked up about 3 feet behind her and lit a cigarette and then buried the butt in the sand right next to her. So that was that was, for me, you know, this is a special event, but I don't think this is part of the area where people are. So that really kind of pushed me to want to push this forward even more.
So it's personal encounters with either what they perceived as dangerous or just, you know, rude behavior, which is understandable. I mean, I said yesterday and I said it before, I don't like smoke. I don't like the smell of it. I don't like people doing it around me. But at the same time, I'm a believer in freedom. I want to, you know, I want to tolerate behavior that is not so bad that it needs to be punished through the force of law, but that I wish people would do better with. Well, it's very interesting because several of the questions on this were things like, well, what about Osceola Golf Course? Well, turns out Osceola Golf Course is not a part of city property. Therefore, it's not a city park. It's not within, it's not easy to enforce codes there. And it's also because people are paying for the privilege to go there that they wanted to consider it differently. The other issue was the large events and, you know, what about people who are at these gatherings? And that had been an exemption in the original legislation. Allison Patton, who's an attorney, brought up a really good point.
I do think that large events in parks, you know, with lots of people coming to them, would have, you know, sort of the same issues. We'd have people who are walking around breathing in smoke that don't otherwise want to breathe in smoke. And or we have lots of people who are dropping cigarette butts in our parks or potentially damaging things. So for me, I feel like that particular provision isn't really something that I could support excluding from the ordinance.
And I actually agree with that in the sense that if you're going to ban it, why do you then allow people to buy their way out of the ban by renting a pavilion? You know, like that's a kind of a weird exemption to make. So here's where things get funky, because following this story is a challenge. So the first thing that Charles Baer wanted to do is he wanted to take off all of the exceptions. But he wanted to keep, even it's not needed, it's not in the language, Osceola as an exception, because outside the city limits, so it's a moot question. But they did want to take off all of the rented spaces and the pavilions and all of that stuff, which they did vote to do. They took those things off as exemptions. Then, with the amended, and there was a whole lot of confusion among the council about what they had done, what they would do, who need to vote where, and so they wound up voting, and even because Delarian Wiggins, it's really his first meeting that he's running, he kind of forgot that they needed to vote on the amended item, you know, once they had dealt with the amendments themselves, so it was confusing. In the end, they voted 4-2 with Allison Patton and Tenney Day Broughton voting against it. And I had told you yesterday, I thought, I don't know how this vote's going to go. They could just as easily vote it down as much as 6-1. Jared Moore was not there, so we don't know how he would have voted. But I said they also could vote it 7-0. Well, they voted 4-2, and I thought, oh, okay, well, that's just one vote away from failure. And if Delarian Wiggins had gone with his concern about enforceability, but I think there's also a let's push it forward a second reading and see what happens. So they voted 4-2. But you had to watch all the way to the end of the meeting. Because at the very, very, very end of the meeting, Allison Patton's like, hey, guys.
So, as the mayor pointed out, there is a learning curve here for new folks. And what I realized was, as it relates to item 5622, I didn't realize what the last amended motion was actually about. So I would like to reconsider my vote. I meant to vote yes to ban smoking in parks, but I thought we were voting on
a very understandable error.
I thought we were voting on whether to amend
by her
actually which one to adopt. So I apologize. It's my inability to quickly follow these things being brand new to council. And I actually would vote yes to that. So it's I could leave it at no. It's embarrassing, but I would prefer my vote be tabulated correctly, so it should have been a yes.
So they did vote to allow the question to be reopened, and then they actually voted on the question, which had originally been 4-2.
Please vote.
And the weirdest thing happened.
Motion passes. Motion passes 6-0.
Two people switched their votes.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So, not just Allison Patton, but Tenney Day Broughton also switched her vote because apparently she had been confused during the item conversation. And so both of them switched their vote to the other side. So it actually passed unanimously. But it did pass without the exceptions, except Osceola is an exception, not in the ordinance, because it's not part of city property, if that makes sense. So it a little tough to follow. I happen to be lucky enough to watch all the way through the end of the meeting, so I caught all of the revisions at the end. But that's where we are. And again, this is first reading. This will have to be passed again in January. So nothing changes today. 522 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
With zero down payment, zero due at signing, zero first month payment, you'll have zero reasons to miss your chance to save at the Volkswagen Sign Then Drive event going on now at Peabody Imports. Sign Then Drive a 2023 Volkswagen Taos and see how zero down, zero due at signing, and zero first month payment add up to more value in this sporty VW crossover from Peabody Imports. imports. Or with zero down, zero first month payment, and zero due at signing, sign then drive the 2023 Volkswagen Tiguan, the SUV with a third row and plenty of room to get you where you're going. But first, get to Piedmoor Imports during the Volkswagen Sign Then Drive event and see how all those zeros add up to one of the best Volkswagen leasing events of the year. Piedmoor Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmoor Imports, 103 New Warrington Road.
Excludes tax, title, license options, and dealer fees for highly qualified customers through Volkswagen Credit.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
News Radio 92.3, Andrew McKay, Jenna Barr, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey, Bobby Rossi, and Lars Larson. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't really celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Festivus.
Feminist.
Festivus.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice.
Good morning. 525 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom this cold morning. It's 43 out. Don't worry, it's going to get back up to normal later. But yeah, we're in for a little bit more cold weather.
I like it.
Yeah, he probably does. Don't you, David?
Oh, I love it.
Weirdo, but it's okay. I like it a little too. I just don't like it to go all the way back.
Well,
to
around this time of year,
just 30. Yeah,
it feels Christmassy.
It does. It does. It definitely does. What's going on in the newsroom?
Well, the Senate's approved a one-week funding bill to avoid that government shutdown. The continuing resolution extends funding to for four federal agencies for another week as they work to pass that full year spending package. A former Twitter employee on his way to prison for 3 years after being convicted of spying for Saudi Arabia. Ahmad Abuamo, I believe is how you pronounce it, was found guilty of taking part in that scheme to acquire Twitter users' personal information for the Saudi government. And you remember that big announcement former President Trump was working on yesterday? Turns out it was an NFT collection of all things, and it sold out.
No, it did
it
not.
Did.
Oh, my
12
God.
12 hours is all it took
Stop
to sell
it.
Out. If you didn't hear about this, he launched a collection of non-fungible tokens.
45,000, right?
45,000
no
of them.
No way. And they were, I mean, I shouldn't
cards.
Be surprised.
They were digital trading cards that showed Trump as a superhero, an astronaut, on Mount Rushmore, riding an elephant, all sorts of weird artwork.
They are the most, they are the Trumpiest of all things. They are 100% the Trumpiest of all things.
Did he say he wanted to be a better president than Lincoln?
Yeah. You know, oh, no. That, he said he was a better president than Lincoln and
My
Washington.
Bad.
Yeah.
Course.
No,
okay.
He, of course.
Of all the things I could have imagined when I saw this, the big announcement
no,
coming,
nobody,
that wasn't
nobody
it.
Saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming.
I didn't get my cards.
It's God. I mean, yeah, he's in an astronaut suit. He's got the laser eye beams.
I think if he was going to do trading cards, he should have teamed up with Topps and released real trading cards.
But look, he's the one who sold 45. I guess the presidential, fund is a little
each?
Bit, $99 a piece. So 45,000, that's $4.5 million that he raised yesterday.
You know, no matter how much I like somebody, I couldn't imagine paying $100 for a JPEG file.
That's right. For the ability to say, and you don't even, it's not like nobody else can have it. You just get the ability to say you own it, right? You know, it's nuts. But there you go. You're right. I'm Andrew McKay.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help.
Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
The world is always on, but you shouldn't be. Put junk sleep to bed. During Mattress Firm's Dreamcember sale, get a king for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin and save up to $700 on Sealy. Only at Mattress Firm.
Listen to News Radio on air at 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, AM 1620, and online at newsradio923.com. Download our mobile app or listen through Alexa.
I don't understand it. The house lights don't work. The floodlights don't work.
Well, is it plugged in?
Honey, do you honestly think I would check thousands of tiny little lights if I wasn't sure the extension cord was plugged in?
Yes, here is to you, baby. 529 here on News Radio 92.3. Taco Bell's going to have french fries.
What?
Yes. No. Taco Bell.
Trump NFTs, yeah.
Taco
Bell.
Who cares about that? Taco. So here's the deal. Taco Bell keeps parity with McDonald's in the evening and late, you know, sales. But at lunch and breakfast, they struggle. They're outdone. But that's because
of the potatoes.
Their assessment is that people want fries. So they say, fine, we'll sell fries. So you can have fries with your tacos is what they're planning to do.
What a great world we live in.
I know.
Man.
And it's apparently going to be like, you know, seasoned fries that are going to be like Mexican flavored seasoned, something like that, which I'm in.
Sold.
Don't persuade me too hard. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
The school district has donated some food to Manna. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There will be no government shutdown tonight. Congress has passed a week-long spending bill while a long-term deal is negotiated.
House Republicans had said they wanted to extend short-term spending into next year so they could have a bigger say in the budget when they get the majority in the new session. But GOP Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has said passing this bill now is better than the alternatives. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
Twitter owner Elon Musk has suspended some journalist accounts.
Musk says they violated Twitter's terms of service when they posted direct links to an account tracking and posting his location in real time. He said, quote, criticizing me all day long is totally fine, but doxing my real-time location and endangering my family is not.
Fox's Brooke Singman, some of those journalists had written about a banned account that shared the location of Musk's private jet using public information. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 531 News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's 44 degrees, partly cloudy here in Pensacola. A holiday tradition dating back over 10 years. Students in the Escambia County School District teaming up to provide food for area families that are in need.
How wonderful and how beautiful in this time of giving that children all across Escambia County through the school district have decided to donate food for other children in need.
Channel 3, who talked to Manna Food Pantry's Executive Director, D.D. Flaunlacker. Now, yesterday, the Escambia County School District dropped off 151,000 pounds of food donated by their students. That's the equivalent of 163,000 meals for local families. Just one day after lawmakers passed an overhaul of the state's property insurance system, there's another change coming all the way at the top.
That's because the state's insurance commissioner announced his resignation. David Altmaier submitted his resignation to Governor DeSantis effective December 28th. He has been in the post as the state has faced major problems. During the past 2 years, insurers have dropped hundreds of thousands of policies and received approval of large rate increases because of financial losses. Six insurers have been deemed insolvent this year as well. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Well, don't light up in city parks. That's a message sent by the Pensacola City Council last night. They've unanimously approved that ordinance to ban smoking and vaping in parks. The ordinance originally, including an exemption for special events. That was eliminated. Councilmember Charles Baer discussing why he supports the ban. He says his mother had lung cancer.
I still remember sitting in Five Sisters with her in the final weeks of her life, and she was eating like a child because her brain was so affected from the cancer that she wasn't able to even eat normally, and that always sticks with me. I don't support smoking anywhere. I can smell smoke from probably 100 yards away or more, and it's probably because I grew up with it.
And, of course, the only exemption to that ordinance would be for unfiltered cigars. Those are preempted at a state level. That ordinance did pass 6-0 last night, and it'll have to go through a second reading here at a future meeting. 85 area senior high school football players taking to the field one more time for the Pensacola Sports High School All-Star Game. Now, that's going to happen tonight at the Booker T. Washington High School, the game featuring players from Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa County football programs. The East roster being coached by Pine Forest's Ronnie Douglas, Niceville head coach Grant Thompson leading the West side. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for students. 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. It's going to be a beautiful and sunny day out there today with temperatures much cooler. Highs near 62 degrees with temperatures overnight dropping near 45. Beautiful weather continues into the weekend for Saturday. Mostly cloudy skies with a few peaks of sunshine. High near 59 degrees. Temperatures Saturday night dropping into the 30s. 37 degrees for the forecast low. We're going to stay chilly as you go into Sunday with highs staying in the 50s and lows in the 30s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. It is 44, partly cloudy, tad chilly, you could say, this morning in Pensacola. 52 in Gulf Breeze, 39 right now in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Did you hear when this happened?
There's nothing I can say. Like, that was the city council meeting conversation.
Or this?
YouTube sends you random ads. This one was like an MTV Get Out and Vote initiative.
Or this?
Doing what every other state was doing after the Supreme Court ruled that states can now collect online sales tax.
If you missed any of that, you should download our mobile app to listen to podcasts of the shows on demand. Just look for News Radio Pensacola in your app store. When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and it is cold, by the way, in case you know. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, shorts and a T-shirt, and then you're going to go outside like, what did I do?
I'm dying.
So, dress warm. It's because it's cold out today. Yesterday, I talked to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've had a number of things happen since you and I last talked. We'll see if we can't get through all of it. You guys are still looking for this guy who robbed the Summit Tom Thumb. Is that right?
Yeah, we are. It's a slender black male. He committed that robbery, but we believe that he may be involved in others out in Escambia County. So we are still looking for that individual, and we sure would like to hear from anybody that has information on him so we can get it stopped before it happens again.
We also had a fair number of car burglaries at an apartment complex. Another good reminder to always lock your car, always keep valuables at least out of sight, if not out of your car entirely, right?
Yeah, that's right. This occurred last weekend at three different apartment complexes on Pensacola's north side, and 100% of them, Andrew, involved cars that were unlocked. Mm. They did not bother a single car that was locked. We are fortunate that no firearms were stolen this time. That's happened many times in the past. So we're just encouraging people and us and the sheriff's office. We've been saying it until we just can't say it anymore. I mean, we're going to anyway, but please go out there and lock your cars. Keep those belongings belonging to you.
You know, there's a reason they make cars with locks, right?
Yeah, there is. But, we're getting into a rabbit hole there with me because I got a lot to say about that. But, just lock your cars.
Don't tease me. Go ahead. Come on.
We'll save that for a longer time.
Fair enough. You also had a this gingerbread house vandalism that you're still looking for these guys, right?
Yeah, there were three of them. They were caught on video, and the reason the cameras were out there is because this particular gingerbread house has been vandalized before, as well as other Christmas decorations downtown. I can't understand why people do that. It's Christmas. It's down there for everybody's enjoyment. And, you know, that gingerbread house was expensive to build. There was over $1,000 worth of damage done to it. And we've got some really good video of these guys. And if you could take a look at it, I appreciate you guys posting it. A lot of the media posted it. And Crime Stoppers will pay if you call the Crime Stoppers number with information. And Winterfest is also offering another $1,000 on top of that to anybody that has information that results in an arrest.
I hope we find them. I know it's serious. I, like you, share this. Hey, man, we're trying to have a civilization here. What's wrong with you? But there's also a part of me that's like, so you're telling me you had a bait gingerbread house down there?
Yeah, that's kind of right. You know, don't take pieces off the gingerbread house. It's not real. You can't eat it.
Oh,
leave it alone.
Just unbelievable. We did have a...
was it possums?
Oh, no. we had, you know, there's a couple of very, very serious cases. And wanted to talk about this. This child abuse at a daycare case. What can you tell me about this?
Well, the officers responded to this daycare in reference to a possible child abuse situation. And there was video footage of it. They looked at the video footage. There were two children involved and a daycare worker where she, you know, forced one into the bed kind of rough and drug another one. So there was enough evidence there, enough probable cause to arrest her for child abuse, and that's what happened.
Ugh, unbelievable. Wow. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to hear it, but this morning we've been talking a little bit about this case. We don't normally talk about suicides, and it's a very serious and painful subject to talk about. But I did want to ask you maybe just briefly, because I was saying that it hurts very much. The victims of this are the friends and family. But you guys, as officers, you deal with this all the time. Can you, I don't know, maybe just take a second and confirm from the experience that is the effect that it has on other people?
Yeah, it is. And this is something that, you know, a lot of people think it increases around the holidays. And, you know, looking at our staff, it's almost constant year round with our calls for people who are wanting or threatening to harm themselves. And there's just so many ways out there. So there's help out there. And it does affect a whole lot of people. It affects the families. It affects the first responders. And, you know, it's a situation that a lot of folks just can't grasp in their minds why someone would do that. You know, they're living a very low point in their life, but the key is that there's help out there. I believe there's a new 3-digit number.
Yeah, 988. That's right, 988.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 98. Yeah, yeah. Call that number. Just do yourself and your loved ones a favor and at least call that number before anything else is done, because, yeah, what a sad situation all the way around.
Absolutely. And in the midst of all of this very serious stuff, we also had a crime that was, yeah, I mean, all crimes are serious, but one that was a little bit of a, what? Who stole what and drove it where?
Okay, so picture this. This was Saturday night late. And an officer or a supervisor, actually a patrol supervisor, is driving on Davis Highway. I believe it was near Palisades Airport, somewhere in that area. And he sees a guy driving down the road, Davis Highway, on a miniature front-end loader. And he said to himself, something is amiss. So he turned around and he got out with this guy. And sure enough, something was amiss. He was drunk on it. He was arrested for DUI, and the front-end loader was stolen.
I think the only thing that would make that story weirder is if he turned out not to be drunk. I mean, like, you know, stone sober driving the front end loader down the highway or the, you know, the major street. That would be a little weirder even, don't you think?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, you know, you're right. It was an expensive Kubota front end loader. And, yes, anybody that knows construction or knows equipment knows that that's a nice piece of equipment. So, it was stolen out of somebody's yard, and fortunately we were able to recover that with no damage.
Well, that's the good news. We're talking to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
I'm trying not to laugh. That's hilarious. Because can't you see it at Christmas parade?
That's what we should do.
That's what we should drive a Kubota down. You
know? Tell them, okay.
I'm picturing the calls coming over the radio. We've got an 8 mile an hour Kubota driving down North Davis Highway, passing Brent Lane right now.
Get on it. Stat. I-110 northbound, the exit from Brent Lane, speaking of which,
is absolutely just fine right now because I forgot to take out traffic. We hope you're having a happy holiday. I was looking for it, but it was sooner than I thought. Okay, Candy, anytime. Okay, so it is Friday. Happy Friday. The Andrew McKay Show. And by the way, all the podcasts will be up right after the show. Okay? And then if you do have a traffic tip, you can text us here. So, okay.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, obviously, I know that you work with for the city. You work for the mayor. The PPD will do whatever laws get passed. And yet, I still want to ask, because getting law enforcement's perspective is often useful, city council is looking at passing an ordinance that would ban smoking cigarettes basically at all the city parks. You'd still be allowed to smoke unfiltered cigars, and there wouldn't be any enforcement of this at Osceola, and there's a couple of other exceptions as well. But you're talking like 90 public places where people could theoretically call the police for somebody smoking in public as an enforcement measure. And from your perspective, how feasible is this? How much of a strain on resources would this mean? You talk me through some of those issues from a law enforcement perspective.
Well, we will see. You know, that would be just like open containers and loud music and things like that, that if it's an ordinance, if it's a law, then we are bound to enforce it, and that's what we will do.
But I guess what I'm thinking of is I know that we never have enough resources. Like, there are never enough cops out to handle the calls. And you always have to triage the calls and go to the stuff that's the most serious. When you think about adding parks and smoking to the mix of calls that you're trying to respond to, does that seem like it's something that would be very easy to respond to with your given level of staffing right now, that would be stressful? I mean, that's what I'm kind of, I just want to understand from a law enforcement perspective how easy or hard this additional law might be to enforce from a resources perspective.
Well, you kind of answered it. We have to triage our calls. We have to put them in order of priority, and that would not be on, you know, an emergency on top of the list. We will answer emergency calls for service first. And then, you know, like I've always said, every call that we receive, we will end up responding to. And if it's a smoking problem in a park, after this becomes an ordinance, then we will respond to that call just as quickly as we can. You know, we've got times where there's not a lot going on. We can get there fairly quickly on something like that. And then we've got other times where that might be an hour away before an officer can get there.
Very good. And I assume that this will be like everything else, where there's a sort of a talk to warning sort of period. There's a gradual rollout as you get people informed before you start, you know, more harshly enforcing it. You guys have been doing the police Navidad. You've been giving out gift cards. We got any cool stories related to that?
Well, we've had a bunch of them, and they're posted on our Facebook page, along with, we try to get pictures of folks when we give those cards out. They're $50, and we try to get pictures of them. Some of them will, most of them will, some of them won't. But yeah, they're out there, and it's been great. It's been fun. We're going to look forward to doing that again. Just go out and do something really nice. If you see a police officer close, do something really nice. Maybe use that turn signal, or let somebody cross the street, or, you know, maybe wave at the officer with all your fingers. Do something and do something really, really nice.
With all your fingers. That's hilarious. I love that. Oh, that's great. You made me forget my joke. I was going to make a joke, but I don't even remember. Oh, man. Wave at him with all your fingers. That's too funny. Any success at staking out Graffiti Bridge and giving truck drivers a reward card for not can opening their vehicle?
Yeah, no, not yet. It just happened again a couple of nights ago. The truck, it completely took the top of it off. Channel 3 had cameras there when it happened that time.
Right.
They were covering something else, and they were right on top of that. But, yeah, it's still happening, unfortunately.
All right. Last thing, we always like to end with a cop myth. Do you have a myth for us this week?
Yeah, this one is about burnout. You know, there's an element of burnout present in most all jobs, and people believe that law enforcement officers are likely to experience more burnout than others. You know, a lot of times there's just a few officers that do get burnout, but overall, that's just not true. Data has showed that more than half of police officers are happy and content with their jobs. I know that I am. Most are. And there's just no solid evidence that law enforcement has increased burnout any more than any other occupation. And in fact, that Some studies have indicated that a positive correlation between cops' achievements and decreased fatigue has something to do with it. So that's just simply not true. We have a lot of fun in our jobs, and you know, a lot of people, especially you know, officers on scenes of serious situations, unfortunately get photographed or videoed smiling or laughing, but that's a defense mechanism. They're trying to be humorous or trying to keep, you know, that's how they keep their sanity. But, you know, going to terrible things like that day in and day out, they still, the majority are still very happy with their jobs.
You tell me if I'm wrong about this, but, you know, there's, every job has challenges, right? And a lot of times it's hard to imagine, like, I couldn't do that job, okay? Like, I couldn't deal with child crimes is one of the things I think about for cops. But the trade-off of that is that the people who do it, there's value in it to them, and it can be challenging, but there's a reward too. And as long as you find yourself in the job that you were meant to be doing, you do it and you're happy at it, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, you got guys like me that are scared to death of retirement because we're just, we're happy. And it's not just me. There are several others that just want to stay as long as they can because they're having fun doing that job. And you know, with the tragic situations that we face, we are we have counseling that's available to us. And years ago, that wasn't the case. So things are good.
Very good. Mike Wood, he is the PIO for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate you, sir. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 549 on News Radio 92.3. And again, in case you did not catch my conversation about this earlier in the show, just some updates on that smoking ban. It did pass last night unanimously at the end because they revised a couple of votes at the very end of the meeting. It did exclude Osceola Golf Course, but that's because it's not within the city limits, not for any other particular reason. It did not have the exemptions built in for the location, for the pavilions and rentals because they took that out. But the cigar is still allowed to be smoked, unfiltered cigars. They actually had a conversation about filtered not, and if you can discard the filter on a filter. I mean, seriously, like, this is where this law is going to wind up being. But that was protected in because that's a state preemption. So just some of the clarifications of it. And code enforcement apparently is going to be the first line of defense, not the Pensacola Police Department. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are thinking about moving, or you know somebody who is and you're in the military, you know, like you're looking at a change of station, or a friend is, and I'm sure if you're in the military, you know people who are changing station and they're trying to figure out what to do with their home, Christina Leavenworth. Have them call her, or you call her, depending on who the person is, right? Because she has helped people in the military hundreds of times, either moving to somewhere else or coming here from somewhere else. She's a great agent for the buying and the selling, quite frankly, because she understands the process so well. She's got all kinds of tips that she's acquired from this experience that are unique to the military situation. She understands the stress involved, the timelines involved, some of the restrictions involved, all of that, and she can work with you. She's even got a VIP military program that you want to be a part of. And one little thing is there's a free deep cleaning for anybody who's in the military that works with her. And there's other stuff, too. So ask her about it. That's the point. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth at Leavenrinke Realty.
The world is always on. But you shouldn't be. Put junk sleep to bed. During Mattress Firm's Dream December sale, get a king for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin and save up to $700 on Sealy. Only at Mattress Firm.
Hi, this is Norma Garcia, marketing consultant for Cat Country News Radio, ESPN, and Playlist. I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a happy and safe New Year.
Hi, I'm marketing consultant Tasca King. I hope you have a great Christmas and a happy New Year.
From our locally owned family of stations, ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, and Cat Country 98.7 to your family. Happy holidays. Have a great Christmas and a happy New Year.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Put down the gun and give me my detonators.
Well, they traveled over hills and mountains on a cold December night just like this. Well, they knew what was going to happen. Mary wouldn't give birth to the Prince of Peace.
Little Boys to Men there for you. Pretty good,
takes
right?
Takes me back, yeah.
Yeah, and be honest, if you didn't listen to much Boys to Men other than, like, Cooley High Harmony, you probably think, like, you know, how good were they really? good.
Oh, man, yeah. Motown Philly still got me going.
Really,
yeah.
Really, they may not have had a lot of hits, but, you know, some of these bands, I mean, they really genuinely have great talent. And, you know, Boyz II Men was
one of them for sure. Oh, no lie. No lie.
552 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. That's Candy Calderton. David Wayne, who I think every once in a while I want to call you Bruce Wayne. So if it happens, you just roll with it.
He's a Batman. He lives in Wayne Manor.
I'm okay with it. If you're going to mistake me for anybody, Bruce Wayne is okay.
Bruce Wayne is not too shabby. Nice.
Russia launched a missile attack on Ukraine today, hitting apparently critical infrastructure in several of their cities, including Kyiv. The attack reportedly interrupted water supplies throughout Kyiv as well. A big aquarium in Berlin has apparently exploded, sending 250,000 gallons of water flooding out of the attraction. Sea Life Berlin describes the aquarium as the largest cylindrical freestanding aquarium in the world. One person apparently was slightly injured in that. And here's something different I saw this morning. Apparently, a hippopotamus in Uganda swallowed a toddler whole. And spit him out.
Yes.
Crazy. An insane
story.
Was
he still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Ugandan police say the boy was apparently playing near his family's house. This was in western Uganda. The animal attacked, swallowed the kid head first. A man starts throwing rocks at the hippo.
What would you do?
Yeah, I guess that if all you got is a rock.
You can't go put him in an arm bend. You know, what are you going to do to try to get the kid out?
Very
you know?
True.
If you choke the hippo, that doesn't solve anything, right?
But the good news, the hippo regurgitated the child and ran away, and the boy was taken to the hospital, given a rabies vaccine, and then sent home.
I do not speak any Ugandan,
no.
But I 100% guarantee that the boy said, again!
I don't want a hippopotamus
right,
for Christmas.
Right. Yeah. But every single child in the known universe, you know, no. And then when they're done, again.
It's horrifying.
Nice call with the song, Candy. That's perfect. Bleh.
Worst song ever.
It's worst song. I hate that. You won't hear me play that song.
Thank you.
I play a lot of different bumpers for Christmas.
That is one of the reasons I left Cat Country.
David, thanks so much for the update. 555.
No, ask. I put it in my letter. I did.
Ask, you'll find out there's some validity to that. Oh, man.
Oh, no, there
is. Hey, if you, if you've got a nice import, you know, you got a Beamer, Porsche, Mercedes, Benz, Genesis, Jag, whatever, Lexus, you know, great imports, wonderful cars. You pay a little bit for them. You do not have to pay so much for them to be maintained. You don't have to go to the dealership. That is not a requirement, okay? You can take them to Bobby Likes Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those cars all the time. Save you time, money, all that. All right, you got a diesel, like a diesel truck. Great when they work, not so great when they don't work, but not everybody works on them. Bobby Likas, they work on those all the time. No problem. Take it in, you call for an appointment, or just drive it in, whatever the case may be. Their website is carclinicservice.com, or you can just bring it on in. Carfax rated them a 2021 top-rated service center in last year at 4.5 average reviews or above. That's Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
This is Laura Cole with Beret Jewelers, wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
This is Jan Mitchell with East Hill Automotive on Airport, wishing you a safe holiday season and reminding you, do not text and drive.
This is Kim Parker with Florida Blue, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a happier New Year.
And happy holidays from our locally owned family of stations. 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, ESPN Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 and Cat Country 98.7.
Hi, it's Candy Kellerton, Andrew McKay's producer at News Radio 92.3. From Darren and myself, we wish you the very happiest of holidays.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Buzz, don't you know how to knock phlegm wad?
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Oh man, I had not seen this when it was first making the rounds on the internet late last month apparently, but there's a woman who has been, like, her school board has a transgender member who is very distinctly male, but he puts on lipstick and a dress and goes to the schools or goes to the board meeting and wants to be called a female. And she's like, this is nuts. And so she showed up at the board, at the school board meeting, wearing a cat suit, like a cat outfit, like not black like Catwoman, but like a leopard suit, saying this.
I am a cat.
Oh, meow, I saw this. Meow. I'm not a woman.
She like licks her hand. Meow, meow, meow.
I am a cat. Meow, meow. I'm not a woman dressed as a cat. I am a cat. By show of hands, I'm curious how many of you believe and confess that I'm a cat? Great. I am. By show of hands, I'm curious how many of you believe that your child or a child from this school would believe that I'm actually a cat? No one. You are right.
Because humans are humans and not animals, right? Okay. And this is Arizona, if I remember correctly, where this was taking place.
Well, then, you know.
But although
who knows what their kids
would she's
think.
A Phoenix mom, but apparently, her name, by the way, is Lindsey Graham. And when I first saw the story, I'm like, Lindsey Graham wore a cat suit to a school board meeting?
Okay,
tell
but
me
would that
more.
Surprise you?
Not completely.
Okay, that's what I'm saying also.
So she went on.
Truth prevails over imagination. Reality exists. Discernment is innate and something we are biologically wired to have. One look at me, and you know this to be true. I am a woman posing as a cat.
And of course, the idea there is it's no more absurd for me to claim that I'm a cat than for a man to claim that he's a female, being the point she's making. She calls herself the Patriot Barbie, I guess. She's got a podcast or something. Anyway, she used to be, she was a person who resisted getting her business closed, which apparently was when she was living in Oregon at the time. She had a salon there, and they told her to close down for COVID, and she refused and you know, had a big fine that she took for it. So
she moved to Phoenix.
Yeah, so she moved to the freedom land of Phoenix or whatever. Right. So
that's where that horned guy came from.
It wouldn't be my approach, except if I were doing the transgressors, in which case I understand the point that she's trying to make. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.